BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, NBA, the Stanley Cup playoffs. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, starring the one, the only Ramon Foster. 11 years starting guard in the National Football League. All 11 of those for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Went an entire season without allowing a sack, and they still didn't send him to the damn Pro Bowl.
Snub fest, man. Snub fest.
How are you, Moan?
Man,
other
I'm
than
good.
That intro.
I'm good. I had a tire I had to get fixed, man. Drove it to the place. I aired it up. Tried to make it there on time and tried to get back here. So my apologies on that, you all. I know y'all waiting patiently for us. I appreciate it so much.
Ivor drops an opening bomb for us there that anyone at the uncle's table is actually wearing a Mitch Trubisky jersey.
Oh, that's terrible. No, I ain't going to call him terrible, but there are so many other different jerseys you can get, DK. I'm seeing Casey come in with a sign that we need to do something, man. What you think about that?
Ah, I see. We can do that. All right.
So we can do that? Mm-hmm. Smile.
Oh, wait. I'm supposed to do something now.
Wow!
How about now? How does it sound now?
Oh, you're way better. You sound like Barry White right now, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is the midnight storm.
Yeah, apparently I had the main microphone off during the intro. So
what in the world, dog? See, that's why you got Dolly, man. That's why.
Oh, that's how I found out, believe me.
Of course. I know that. I saw her putting her headphones back on, which means she was assisting day in. That's what that sounds like.
Before we get into the topic of the day, which is going to be Windows.
I got another topic to you for you also.
Oh, okay.
Windows. Yeah.
All right. Justin Mark wants to get us a little bit of a roll here. Says, "Hey, Bone." A little early one. How long is Russell Wilson's leash before Justin Fields comes off the IKEA bench?
I truthfully think
it's wrong with IKEA.
the IKEA bench. It's the meatballs I got a problem with, but maybe I need to try them again. That's just me. That's just
with jelly and with the gravy.
I'll give it a shot.
With some Swedes at your table, too, telling you how good it is.
I'll give it a shot and see what it's about again. We got one in Murfreesboro here, I think. But Justin Work, thank you for the contribution, number one. And great question. And hey, when you put the MOA in, it really gives emphasis to the moan part. But I think Russell Wilson's leash is long. I do think it's fairly long. And I'll say this. I think it's because his play and perception has been – so bad leaving Seattle and leaving Denver that I think his opportunity to be good falls on him. And here's the thing, too. He can't be overly bad while also taking on a new offensive coordinator and a new role in the new city also. I think the success of Arthur Smith and also Russell Wilson works hand in hand, meaning that they both need this. I think Arthur Smith absolutely know he needs this, and there's no harder place to play at. I say this, but I feel like a lot of fan bases are like this, man. But Pittsburgh is a hard place. I say that all the time because the expectation at the end of the day is just a dub. I mean, we can talk all the crap we want to, right, about, hey, they got to win with better style or they got to fight going down better losing or whatever the case may be. But if you win, nothing else really matters, does it, DK, at the end of the day? And I think that's where why you have a guy like Russell Wilson that didn't leave Pittsburgh. I think that's why you also have a guy like Arthur Smith who went to an NFC South team that understands, hey, I need to reset myself. So when you ask me about his leash, I think it's long. And I also think this. I read a very interesting article, man. I'm going to give credit to the guy because he sent it to me. And it was Michael Keefe. I'm sure you know of him. Well, he's the voice of the Titans. And it was like, what is a NFL quarterback? And this article, DK, was so freaking good that it boils down to the very successful ones are the ones that have a high amount of reps in college. Meaning, you know what the magic number is? 1,300. The really good college quarterbacks have 1,300 passes. Russell Wilson has 1,600, at least 1,300. Ben had 1,300. Drew Brees had way more than 1,300. I think Peyton was in that level.
But what's the significance there? The
significance is those guys are throwers and passers. They understand how to control the ball. They've probably been through every situation as far as throwing, completions, their arm angles, as opposed to the ones who throw 700 passes in college. I'll be honest, Justin Fields didn't throw that many college passes. But you know what the guys that are very successful do whenever they get into the league and they don't throw a whole lot? They sit. And I don't think Justin Fields had the opportunity to sit and grow, which is why I think the leash for Russell Wilson is long. Because now Justin gets an opportunity to sit back, watch, and learn. That supplements reps for guys like him, i.e. Jordan Love, right? There's other guys that you say, well, yes, they would be better if they sat and learned a little bit more. Aaron Rodgers was another one. Those are two cases in that article that was spot on with it. I might send it to you, DK.
Well, I'd appreciate that. I will say that, you know, when it comes to reps, when it comes to guys getting a lot of work in as quarterbacks, you get to see them learn in a way that they can't otherwise learn. You can't learn by watching video. You can't learn by whatever. And that's where, you know, to bring this up yet again here, where even Mike Tomlin would go out of his way to praise what Mason Rudolph did. In that capacity alone, because you have to be out there, you have to be in games. Right, that's what Jonathan brings up here, okay? It worked. At the same time, Moan, man, listen, we can talk about these sorts of things in generalities, but when you're talking about Justin Fields,
yep.
I'm going to throw something else at you here.
I'm here for it.
Okay, you have 53 guys on the roster. You have one who can do the things that he can do athletically. One.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Good luck keeping that on the sideline. That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you on that, but I think you got to be
touched. You're going to put 11 lesser athletes on your offense every single snap. Good luck.
It is such a good article. I actually tweeted it out this morning. On my Twitter at the Ramon Foster. You know who broke that mold though, DK, also in that same context of throwing a minimum of 1,300 passes in college? Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, he probably threw like 7,000.
1,674 college passes.
Yeah, I mean he was in college for half a decade.
Him and Brady Quinn are in a category of their own. That's super fascinating to me. But DK, back to the point of what's the point of it all and how long is Russell Wilson's leash? Mm-hmm. I personally do believe they will put they'll put a helmet on him, like a protection helmet. I think they will put airbags around him for a little while. And DK, honestly, give him an opportunity to breathe, learn, and grow. I think the leash for Russell is on. Even if you're 100% right, I do think he's a better player. No, the better athlete. I don't think he's a better player just yet.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think anybody would dispute that. I don't think I don't hear many arguments at all from people saying that Justin Fields should come in, not just that he should come in and start, but that he should come in and challenge to start. I don't even hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. All I'm saying is it's really difficult for football people,
that's true,
the people you spent your whole life around, to keep the best athlete off the field. I am telling you, that wry smile that Tomlin had at the NFL annual meeting in Orlando last week when he said, stay tuned, there's something up there. There's no way that coach is going to let that player just stand next to him holding the clipboard. It's not going to happen.
I roll with you on that one, man. I will. I will say there's a inkling of truth there, if not more, DK. But I think his situation is too fragile for you to let him just roll out there and just sling it around like he did in Chicago.
Totally.
Yeah,
and that
I'm
brings,
with you.
And Sergio will complete our conversation here that we've all kind of had together. He says, DK and Moan, how fixable is Justin Fields' fumble/turnover problem? I'll ask you that, Moan. I mean, you've been around guys that have had some trouble holding onto the football. including, you know, not so much, I shouldn't say with quarterbacks, I mean, because you had Ben.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I mean, Ben wasn't exactly irresponsible with the football.
No, he was not.
Including when he was still going with it, when he was running with it. But what does a coach do, and can a coach fix it? Is it seen by coaches as fixable?
See, here's the thing, though, too, DK. You're sending it, honestly, the advantage back to me, okay? We were even. And now it's advantage moan on this one. You know why? Why, DK? Because that is a learn, take your time type of situation where you're given the opportunity to learn and grow. When they can slow training camp down for you and tell you today, your ASS is working on ball protection. Don't worry about reps today. You got one goal today. You can't do that with a starter. You can't do that with a starter. You can bat like the starter, and you know this. The starting franchise quarterback, DK, how do most people treat the starting franchise quarterback? Do you ever see them get yelled at?
Oh, no, they're royalty.
Do you ever see them get embarrassed in front of everybody?
Royalty.
Do you ever see them get fussed out by anybody?
No. Not teammates, not assistant coaches, not coordinators, and not the head coach.
In 32 cities. Maybe that rookie year. Maybe Cowher had the ability to do that to seven. But he didn't really get that bend until year two, was it? Because you got to treat him a certain type of way. If Justin's in a backup role, I see a dude like him that has the ability to stop thinking about trying to be Superman. And, hey, for a minute, just be the smart guy Clark Kent. And that's going to help you be a better Superman later. That's the reason I'm telling you. How do you get better at the fumbling stuff? Let him have an opportunity to learn and teach that. Because when he got to Georgia, he was shipped out really quick. Then he goes to Ohio State, and then he's instantly playing, and then he's in the draft. Like, that's his trajectory. And then you send him to Chicago, and he's got to save the city. I'm not trying. I'm not trying to, like, make y'all believe in Justin. What I'm trying to do is say sometimes it takes a little time. And I forget what it was a second ago that said Mason benefited from sitting, watching, and learning. I think there's something to that whenever you just throw guys into the fire sometimes. Some dudes ain't built for that. Say what you want to, and I'm going to throw this out there because they're continually making moves, and this is going to be part of our window conversation. But the reason you're capable and able to throw so much at C.J. Stroud right now is because he's got a all-pro left tackle. He's got a right tackle they paid out of the wazoo, and he's a pro bowler. They got a nice interior. They gave him weapons at running back, and they gave him weapons at wide receiver, and this was last year.
Yeah, look what they gave him today. You know, that he's got Stephon Diggs now.
That's one heck of DK. That's one heck of a supporting staff. So am I shocked that C.J. Stroud did what he did last year? A little bit. But when you sit back and evaluate it, are you really?
Houston, of all teams, of all franchises, to finally figure stuff out. Sometimes all it takes, man, to get yourself a D'Amico, you know?
You know what also it takes? Being able to stomach sucking that bad.
Well, they certainly did that.
Also this, and my co-host said this morning, get you a team that can negotiate with the Cleveland friggin' Browns.
Ooh.
They're getting all of this because that team needed to get rid of Deshaun. And that Cleveland Browns team sent the house.
So it's going to end up being the grossest overpay in NFL history. And I don't even know that there will be a close second for a long, long time.
And what has that netted for Cleveland so far? And I ain't saying that it can't turn good for them.
Oh, I am. They have parades in March. I am. Yeah, they have parades in March. That's what they do. They right outside the stadium.
The ROI... The ROI to this day in April of 2024 hasn't returned in Cleveland. Maybe in jersey sales and tickets and all that type of stuff. I see James Galloway say the Herschel Walker trade, maybe.
It's the only counterexample anybody can ever give is the Herschel Walker trade. You know, it's the only example. The school of thought forever and ever when you're analyzing trades, and this goes across sports, is – the team that gets the best player in the trade wins the trade, right? Okay, it's almost always true. the Herschel Walker trade, they gave Herschel was like a zillion different pieces that came in return. Look, this is not going to work out to the Browns' benefit. It's just not.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating. I see some people saying the Broncos trade for us. Could be. Could be.
That was one.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ricky Williams was a draft, though, wasn't it? It wasn't like a player trade. I see Ricky Williams coming up right there. But
he was the pick. Yeah.
Yeah. He was the pick to move up. We're talking about a player already on the team that's been traded away. You find you somebody that'll dance with you like Cleveland did. That's how you get to where a hard reset turns into a quick one for the Houston Texans, man.
Guys, when we come back, the only segment that actually matters.
We're going to go through two windows, too, by the way. I told you one window, but I got another one.
He's got another one. That's right.
But it's Hey Mom. We'll be right back.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores, track the latest stats, chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
Can I jump on one here, Moan?
Please do.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What you got for me?
I want to do this. And I hope everybody can hit record right now, because I want this one copied and pasted, all right?
Oh.
Frank asks, hey, Moan, who makes the final decision on who to pick off the draft board? Omar Khan or Mike Tomlin? Is Art Rooney involved at all? And the reason that I want this one is that there's a never-ending string of questions in general around Steelers fandom about who makes the calls.
Oh, my.
Okay? Let's put it this way. In the draft setting between Omar and Tomlin, it all gets discussed. Ramon, can you please relay to the viewers what I mean when I say that? It becomes a consensus.
It really is. It's not a one-man show. Like, whoever the bus have been that you've deemed to be bus, everybody in the room somewhat agreed upon it, or they were outvoted. It usually goes head coach, GM, scouting department, position coaches. Now, where Mr. Rooney involvement is, I think he's informed. I heard, for instance, I'm going to correlate my day job to this real quick. So the Titans signed Calvin Ridley this offseason in free agency. They did. Their GM had a press conference yesterday where he said it was him, the assistant GM, the other GM, and their numbers got all in the room celebrating the signing and said, hey, we got Calvin Ridley. He said he get a call about 90 seconds later. It was from the owner. Hey, is this true? She didn't know.
Oh.
They informed her on what they were planning to do. But the idea that she was in on the deal, that ain't usually how the NFL works when it comes to owners, unless it's Jerry. Who else? Jerry Jones?
I'm sure there are a couple. I mean, I would say Arthur Blank would fit into that category. Somebody who's really, really visible.
But that ain't a bad thing is what I'm saying.
No. You don't want people finding out stuff peripherally. You want the owners, and that's what ends up happening here. Rooney is in the room, so he doesn't have to be getting phone calls or anything. When the draft is going on, Rooney's in the room. The important thing to know and to understand in general about the Steelers hierarchy is this. There's only one person who can make decisions alone. Only one, and that's Rooney. There's no one else who can act unilaterally on anything other than in-game calls. That would be the head coach. Okay. Rooney is the only one who can do that. So all this other stuff, who did this, who called that, who did this, whatever else, it's a consensus. It's everybody in the room. And the only final tiebreaker in any such situation would be the owner.
Yeah.
That's it.
And again, I told that Titan story for the reason I think it was he was alluding to it was somebody in the building or his agent that told her about this. But the owners, for the people that want to, that's me, right? For the people that want to say Mr. Rooney doesn't know or hey, are you okay with this? They're informed and give you the green light to either go spend the checks or say, hey, these are our people. They're in the loop. Another cool story of mine is cool, somewhat backhanded though. So I will say that. It was one of the years, may have been my second or third year. I thought I had a good camp. Thought I probably should have won it coming out of training camp, DK and listeners. And it was crazy. It was the year Dave was there.
Yeah.
Dave got drafted. So it was year three for me.
A little unsettling. Yeah.
A little unsettling. So, and it was a situation where the O-line coach came up to me, whether true, whether he was just trying to make me feel better or what. But we were on the practice field after the initial cuts and the depth chart had come out, and I was the sixth man, essentially. And this was Coach Kugler. And he said, hey, I just want you to know I got outvoted. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, if it was on me, you'd be in there. He's like, but I got outvoted.
Oh,
so there's a process to how to go about it. And lo and behold, it might have been going into that week three of the dress rehearsal where Dave got hurt in Buffalo. You remember that?
Oh, him in the end zone.
And then I was in.
Yeah.
But then I was in, right?
And yeah,
I never left
from
there. But the conversation, the answer I'm trying to give you guys is they have an order in how they go about this. What tape says, how they feel, what they want to do. Willie had just got paid, and Dave's a frigging first rounder.
Yep.
Whether he was trying to make me feel better or what, I didn't let it deter me. But he just gave me some clarity for that moment. And that lasted 5 days. Dave partially tore his ACL and the rest is history.
Yeah, exactly. Stephen A. wants to know what your thoughts are on the Stephon Diggs trade to Houston. Are the Texans now going to be real?
That's why we're going to go to windows, DK. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let's go to windows. Buffalo. They. Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking about, remember last year we had the conversation about the submarine and went to see the Titanic? That's what they're doing right now. Windows, DK. How crucial it is why I also gave that answer too as to why I think why I think there's a longer leash for Russ. He's cheap, just like a rookie quarterback. When it starts to get tight and you're trying to win Super Bowls and jump through that window to say, hey, we are a top five team in the NFL and the odds in Vegas say, hey, we are about to go win it all. And then you don't, but you've already paid Diggs. You've paid players on your defense, Von Miller. You paid your quarterback. You've paid your quarterback.
Oh, you paid the quarterback.
You paid your quarterback and you don't win that window, DK. I think Buffalo's going to compete, but that window went from here about right there. They got a shot.
Is it, though? Just to play devil's advocate here with you. To me, the window is as long as you have your franchise quarterback. Buffalo has their franchise quarterback. Buffalo has Josh Allen. Josh Allen's not old. Josh Allen's not going anywhere. Okay? So, excuse me. If you tell, and you should have this talk with your quarterback and say, hey, listen, this year might be a little bit rough. Okay? This year might not be what you've been used to since you've been with the Bills. Okay? But we're building up toward the new stadium opening up, you know, they're building there, okay? And we're going to do this, this, and this, and this to create cap space, and we're going to bring in for you this, this, and this, and this in terms of draft. It's going to take a year. We need you, man. You got to stick with us.
Yeah, and that's fine and dandy, DK. But here's the thing. How long does it take for you to raise up new wide receivers? Do you trust and believe that Josh Allen can raise up wide receivers? Who's a wide receiver on his team that he's directly made better and got to a second contract? Gabe Davis is now in Jacksonville.
Oh no. You're going the second contract route. Yeah, who? That's I see where you're going here. Diggs, I think, kind of played and pouted his way out of Buffalo. Okay. Oh,
but you still didn't win with him after you paid all that money.
And you know who not.
They signed in free agency. I'm looking at it right now at wide receivers. Curtis Samuel, 3-year deal. Mac Hollins to a 1-year deal. Other wide receivers on this list? Nobody. And who on Buffalo's roster do you trust right now? Who do you trust, or who has Josh Allen proven that he can develop? I know one thing. Seven did. Who was Martavis before Martavis met Ben in the NFL?
Oh, and was, after? Yeah, Mike Wallace.
No, I'm just saying in general. He helped
I see what you're saying. I thought Mike Wallace was Martavis before Martavis was. I mean, Ben has always – actually, you can go through the whole lineage
Don't
there.
Go to the list.
The easy money, the money guys, all, you know.
Even before them.
The Plex. Greatest example is obviously A.B., you know, but he made a bunch of receivers a bunch of money. He did, and he found a way to do it even when there were three of them in the fold. You can go back to Antoine Randall-El and, what's his name in the end zone?
Antoine Randall-El? No. Plex?
Antonio Holmes. My brain here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The lineage is really, really strong, you know, the receiver tree, if you will, and that has not happened in Buffalo.
It has not.
I wouldn't argue that.
I see somebody put up Jake. Jake says Shakir is on the Bills is good. Okay, you got one. You got Shakir, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, and Justin Shorter. What name really pops out to y'all in that list that scares you on Sundays?
Not one. That guy is now in Houston.
Which is why I look at Omar and Coach Tomlin, how they recruited Russ, and I say, if we can go find Seattle Russ or one of those 350-yard games at $1.6 million.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we cooking. Not even just Russ, but if Russ can do that, and Russ has developed wide receivers, he has a track record of being able and capable of doing those things, right?
The reason that, by the way, just for anybody who gets confused by this, what difference would it make how much money Russell Wilson's making? Well, we're not done yet. Okay. No. This team's not built yet. And when it is built, it's going to be built with a lot of money that normally would have gone to the quarterback. Okay. I can promise you right now that you would not be sitting on a defense that had Patrick Queen on it if it weren't for a $1.6 million starting quarterback. Okay. Right. So there's a lot of pluses involved in this sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not minimizing.
Russ gets paid either way. Russ don't care.
He does, man. But I think we also see the importance, to me, to circle back to the importance of why you let Justin develop, is because if you can start getting to the point, either through Russ, through the draft, by getting wide receivers, other weapons that helps George Pickens down the line, then you can set up a guy like Justin Fields that will somehow accept, I hope, a deal that keeps him in Pittsburgh so that he can walk into the driver's seat and just take you to wherever you want to go in a good way, DK. That's why I am into having Russ have a long leash, because I'm watching now. We all are. The cap is real, number one. The salary cap is really real. But windows do shrink. I don't think they're closed. I'm with you, DK. I don't think it's closed. But I think Buffalo's ability to be a Super Bowl contender did somewhat go down a lot.
Mm-hmm. They do have tight ends. Steelers found that out the hard way in the playoffs.
Okay, but now your defense is a little bit better.
Yeah, their defense, on the other hand, they told the entire secondary to just go away.
And you know the other thing too, DK? You can have good tight end play when you got Stephon Diggs as a great decoy out there too. Like, it's twofold, and I know there's an argument on the other side of it. Well, Baltimore operate with tight ends. They also have Lamar, who's mobile, too.
No, when you have a Diggs, when you have a name brand, when you have someone who's that consistent, they lift up the other receivers because they create more space. Don't forget the AB effect on Juju. Yeah. You know, they had a double AB, and all about Juju was wide open. Juju was made it onto the Centennial commercial for the NFL. I know, right? He's there with like Mean Joe Green and Joe Montana and Dan Marino and Juju. Yeah. Like, why? Because Juju got open as a rookie.
Yep, 100%.
Man, we will look back on that and laugh forever. That commercial.
We will. And you, for a very finicky position like wide receiver, where they have to depend upon the quarterback delivering the ball to them, we may actually look back in some context and say, AB was a little bit right.
Oh, no, he was a lot of bit right.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a lot of bit right.
Okay.
Okay. Look, you were in that room in New Orleans. Let's not play.
I know.
Okay. We know what happened in that room in New Orleans. Okay. Yeah. When Juju cost him the game after AB had 500 catches.
I mean,
we know what 84 was saying, and we know that 84 was right.
The message was terrible. The delivery of it was terrible.
And he was still right. Yeah. And right. I mean, that's just that and game. Right. I swear, there are not many sporting events that I cover.
Yeah.
That still stick in my craw. Like where you just go, wow, yeah. How did you not win that game?
You want to hear how
New Orleans is one of them.
You want to hear how ridiculous of a game for both of them it was? I got it. The box score right now. Antonio Brown's. Hear this out, DK.
Go ahead. It's unbelievable.
I'll give you Juju's. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
15 targets, which is a ton. How often does a wide receiver get double digit targets in a game? Only one.
How about a secondary receiver?
A secondary. 15 targets, 11 catches for 115 yards.
Yeah. He broke one there too. Yeah.
One fumble and one fumble loss.
There it is.
You know what AB did?
Go ahead. Here it comes. Sit down for this.
19 targets, 14 catches, 185 yards, and two touchdowns. What's even crazier, his longest reception was only 28 yards.
That's all. Those statistics do not do that performance justice. I will, even including his reaching over the line to beat Baltimore here in
Christmas
Pittsburgh.
Day.
Yeah, I will swear that was the best AB performance. The way he brought in balls on the sideline, New Orleans did everything to try to stop him. This wasn't one of those where you're taking advantage of a dumb defense. Okay, they did everything. They could not stop him, and in turn, could not stop Seven and the rest of you. It was just you guys, all 11 of you, were just boom, 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 boom against this great team. Yeah. Remember, that was all. Yeah. How are you going to go into the Superdome and put up points on them?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's crazy, in the moment, we couldn't catch our breath.
And you guys, you just kept moving.
Every series had an answer, though, too, DK. Every series had a friggin' answer, man. And that's what's so crazy about that game. We ended up losing that game, man, 31-28. I'd watch that game again, even as a loser. I would.
Hanover fist. No, Hanover. No. Santonio was not better than AB. I'm sorry.
Hanover. That moment.
We love having you here, but no. He had his drive.
He had his drive.
He had his magic. And that's to his eternal credit. Okay?
And I love Tone.
But we're talking about a different level here.
And you know what's crazy too, as we speak about Windows 2, DK? That game right there in 2018, December 23rd, 2018, was, I think, the mark in where our window officially closed.
You might be right. I like Donald Faribault's comment here. One of the best games I've ever watched. It's one of the best I've ever covered.
Yeah.
It's one of the between who the quarterbacks were, what the setting is, that place is wild.
Right before Christmas. On the road.
Were you guys on the field when they do the When the Saints Come Marching, the U2 song, the U2 and Green Day song?
No, uh-uh. We weren't
Oh,
there
my
that.
God. It's a song that U2 and Green Day teamed up to benefit Katrina. It's called When the Saints or something. I don't remember what it is. Okay. They actually wrote it for the city of New Orleans, and they play it. They blast it.
They do.
And there's 80,000 people in that roof, and it's just you think the thing's going to fall apart.
Yeah. It was – they're loud. They got the second line, as they call it, down there. The fan base get jumped up. It is by far
Look who was there. Look who was there. It's hard to describe. Rochelle, tell them. There's just nothing. That atmosphere was, I mean, look at my arms right now.
You got hair raising up?
You see that? I don't know how good the camera is. Okay. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget, including the performance and even the fact that it was a loss. It's just, it was unbelievable regular season NFL action. It really was.
But it was a stupid, dumb loss, though, too, because of this. But hold on. We're going to get real short. Where is it at? Because of absolute finest comment. He says, I'm pretty sure Tomlin challenged the PI call and it stood.
This is the Joe Hayden thing.
Even touch the ball. Even if he did touch him, it was an uncatchable ball.
Tell me how many times you heard Joe bring up that call years after it happened. Years. Joe would still insist, and rightly so, that was one of the worst calls.
They don't even allow you to challenge that no more.
No.
Like that.
That's because it became a farce. I mean, everybody was challenging every single pass.
For as much flack as Coach Tomlin get for his challenges, that's a win. He should have won that one. 100% should have won that one, man. And Joe shouldn't be marked by that one. That's nuts to me, man.
Goodness. I forgot that was part of that game.
Pittsburgh Hornets asking, I mean, what was it? New Orleans, both times I was down there.
It had to be.
Halloween in 2009, I think, DK, were you down there for the Halloween game?
Yep.
2009, that one was super lousy. The Sunday, I think it had to be Sunday Night Football. And Seattle in, what was that, 2015?
When they had the whole 12th man thing really, really going, which they didn't at New Year's Eve just now, by the way. It just wasn't the same type of setting. It's hard to compete with a dome.
It is.
And there's no wind. That's the other thing about the Superdome is it's got no relief. It's got meaning it's got no windows. It's got no concourses. It's just you're playing in a tuna can. An inverted tuna can. Here, have a football game, right?
Yes, man.
It's a heck of a home field advantage that the Saints have had for a long time.
Rainer, you're right. I got to breathe. You're right. That one got me going right there, dog.
RCA dome pumping in noise doesn't count. Never give Indianapolis credit for anything related to noise because of what they did.
Yeah, that's silly right there.
It was really silly. Leo wants to know if the window's closing on the Steelers defense.
I just circled that one. Why y'all think I've been asking for help for Cam? I've been asking for help for Cam for 2 years.
You have.
We really been on a spare tire driving at 80 miles per hour, if I can be honest with you.
That's not the analogy you want to use today.
No, it's not. I've really been on the spare. We've been driving on the spare tire.
Wait, did you change the tire yourself today?
I actually was able to air it up enough to make it to the tire shop that I was taking it to. It was just enough, which is why I said I got to get there. I actually drove it there and drove it back. But if I can be real, I feel like, and maybe this is too harsh to say because TJ still in his prime, Minka is, Alex is, who else is still in their prime? You got some good young guys, right? And Cam still is making plays. But there is a portion of that defense that has to be an added youth movement need to be incorporated. Am I wrong, DK?
No, you're not wrong. And I'll tell you what else. A lot of vibes of late that I'm getting that inside linebacker is going to get addressed in the first handful of rounds by the Steelers. Now, that does not mean first or second round, but it can mean third or fourth. I get the sense here they're tired of waiting on that position.
Oh,
okay. So if they have another year of a Landon Roberts, if they get another year, if they're lucky, from a health standpoint of Cole Holcomb, and they've got themselves now Patrick Queen, they can bring in somebody else as a rookie and let them kind of learn the ropes, take their time, right?
Yeah. I do like Trotter Jr. I do. Absolutely. He's a good one, man. There's a few good guys out there, but that's the thing about it. People are going to knock Trotter Jr. for a 4.640 and stuff like that. Is he another Patrick Queen? It's going to be fascinating, man. But that defense needs a little bit of a rejuvenation. I ain't going to say that window's closing because they got a crap ton of playmakers still with Joey Porter Jr. getting his reps, right? You got some answers over there. I think we're just looking at what the quality and depth used to be at all times. They got to get me some quality in there. Say what you want to about Hokey Bro or Nick Eason or Travis Kersky. Those dudes, when their number were called and Hemp had to come out, they got it done.
They got it done differently.
Yes, they did.
It's a lot like the people who would come in and replace Marquise when Marquise would go down. They didn't do the same things. You weren't calling the same plays, were you?
No, you weren't.
But they found different ways to get the job done. Sometimes in somewhat an underhanded manner, I might add.
You best believe it.
Mark says, hey, Moan, if not for Pro Football Focus, would Dan Moore still get dogged so much? Is it PFF that gets more dogged around here?
That's my other window I have for you. I did a pod with them today, and they want y'all to know that they love you in Pittsburgh, too. They opened up the segment today asking, why does Pittsburgh hate us so much? I said, well, you got to
What do you think? Come on.
And I broke it down to them. Your win rush rate scenario, you guys are in Ohio, seem very biased to Cincinnati and Cleveland. I told them that. And guess what he also brought up? The dude, Steve Palazzolo, was like, it's crazy we have Ramon on here because the first time he ever saw Sam, what did you say to him, Ramon? I said, you guys suck.
Y'all. Hang on. No, that wasn't the exact line. Because I was standing next to those guys. Y'all grades suck. Those are the exact words. Let history show, y'all's grades suck.
Sam Monson and Steve Palazzolo, they're two highest guys, brought it up on the podcast the day that I shot with them. So, hey, the message was sent for you guys, okay? But if you ask a question, they broke it down to me off air on how they break stuff down. It's how did you do in the block is one of their biggest things. They also said, hear me out, let me finish real quick. He said, when it comes to the offensive lineman, honestly, throw the sacks out. He was like, they look at how did the block look? Did you complete it? They don't look if guys got tripped, pressure. Like, they look at the block and which did you complete it or did you not?
But especially at tackle. I'm preaching to the choir here, so I'm sharing this with the viewers. Especially at tackle, if your only mission is to follow the guy and escort him past your quarterback, what block are you completing? Like, what does a completed block look like in that event? If your guy wants to run 10 yards past your quarterback, you can wish him well.
Yeah.
You know, you can give him a coupon on the way past.
Yeah, yeah. They're saying they're continually getting better at judging that. As it pertains to Dan Moore, perception is reality. There's a lot of players in this league that people call trash, but they're respected mano a mano to the players around them and the ones that they go up against. It's hard to say that because y'all have a skewed view of them anyway. But when it comes down to Dan Moore, is he or is he not getting the job done?
There are times when Dan looks like he's not hit on his assignment.
I feel that.
And I think that's something that even the casual football fan, the one that's not going to be able to analyze this and that about blocking technique, can see. There are times when Dan looks like he wants to go right, he goes left. Some of that, of course, had to do with quarterbacks not being where they're supposed to be. As another commenter here mentioned earlier, that's going to be a challenge in terms of what Russell Wilson's going to move around. Russell Wilson got sacked a lot. Justin Fields got sacked a lot. So there's going to be new challenges here. They're not going to have Mason just standing there in the pocket,
right,
knowing where he is, all that stuff that made them so happy. You know what I mean? Oh, it's going to be different.
They gave him a 39.7?
They killed him.
Pass blocking great?
They killed him.
What?
He's one of the lowest rated offensive, not left tackles, one of the lowest rated offensive tackles either side in the National Football League. But my feeling, to try to answer that same question, my feeling from talking to Pittsburgh fans is that it's not based on PFF.
Yeah.
They saw way too many instances. And look, I don't want to throw somebody else under the bus for this, but if your previous quarterback had a penchant for rolling left constantly and bailing to the left, who's going to be the offensive lineman who bears the brunt of that?
It's Dan Moore.
Every time. every time.
You don't want statues back there. You better have a strategic runner then.
65 was in your frame every time Kenny ran into one of those sacks to the left, and that's why. So I'm going to presume that the Steelers themselves have information, have film, have a real study, the stuff that PFF can't do. That's not even a knock on them this time, okay? Because only the coaches know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing.
Jake, I love you, my brethren, my Pitt alum. Oh, now it's Kenny's fault. The quarterback holds blame on sacks too. Because here's the thing about it. When it comes down to sacks, and that's one thing they did say, I thought was very true. It's like a person can have a terrible block and the quarterback gets rid of the ball and it's not a sack. But then a player can have an awesome block and locked onto his guy and he rolls out to the left and then it's a sack. Is that on the lineman or is that on the quarterback right there?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it I don't know how many times, and we're going to see it again this season. Russ isn't about to reinvent himself.
He ain't going to be okay? No pocket guy. Right. Not long term.
No, this is someone who's in his mid-30s, who's been playing football a certain way his entire life, and unless you were to have some sort of Art Rooney / Todd Haley intervention with him, and I don't think you need to, because he still has his mobility. Yeah. It's not what it was. It can't be what it was, but he still has it.
Yeah, and here's Hanover Fist got the best answer of it all, because as I went at PFF that year, I got ticked off. I did. I legitimately got ticked off. I was like, y'all gonna either judge me fairly or I'm gonna make sure you judge me fairly. And it's this right here. Just get better than PFF and prove them wrong.
Yep,
that's what it is for Dan.
Now Dan is gonna have to adjust. But here's the other. I'll ask you this question. I don't have this answer. You have always liked Dan's athleticism in addition to his size, okay? I think we all know how we feel about Broderick Jones' athleticism in addition to his size. Would they possibly be a better fit for Russell Wilson and or Justin Fields than, let's say, you know, Jonathan Ogden-type tackles?
I think so, too, because they're young and they're vibrant, athletic as heck, too. The other thing that we hadn't considered and talked about much either, DK, and I think they get an opportunity to start up, heck, middle of this month, is Dan working at right tackle?
Yeah. Once you find that out, you're going to have all your answers.
Then we're going to have the real answers right there. He may be better suited, even though he's never played it or say he doesn't want to play it. Right tackle, he may be a better right tackle.
This is interesting too. Remember that Amarius Mims could come here. By the way, that's the answer to the question you're asking, Moan. It's always Amarius Mims.
It is. But here's the thing. So hear me out on this one. If we're talking about keeping Broderick at right, I'm drafting Amarius Mims. When we're talking about moving Broderick to left tackle, CJ Latham's a better right tackle as it stands right now.
Oh, way to throw JC Latham. Yeah. That's different. Okay. Well,
On paper, the amount of reps that he's played, the university, his style, what you're asking the right tackle to do. I hate his feet, but he gets the job done.
Well, I'll tell you this. When you get to the 20th pick, when the Steelers get to that point, there's a really, really good chance they're going to be faced with a wall of offensive tackles that they're going to feel like that they can't get past. And I'm sorry, but best player available still has to be a thing. It just does, you know?
Yep. And you had also think you still need a wide receiver. You do.
Yeah, you can get one in a second.
It may be a good one, too. I got a good one that's real good, DK.
All right.
From you got
I was just going to put that up for you as the last question. I loved it. That's so funny.
He goes, hey, Moen, Mayan. How do you say that? Mayan.
Moan. It's like Chinese.
I love that. I'm messing with you. You got one shot. But it says, what's the difference between happy feet or a running quarterback? Will the O-line complain like they did with Kenny and Young Mason? Thank you for the awesome show. I appreciate that. I didn't even know that was the end part of it. What's the difference between happy feet? Happy feet, you know what happy feet is in the pocket? Nervousness. Unsure. Not really understanding how long the play is and how long you're supposed to hold the ball. At any point in time, if a linebacker is running up the middle, you don't trust the offensive line. That's happy feet. Just being able to, I'm gone. The pocket is the pocket. Pressure is a component of playing quarterback. Ain't no other way around it. Standing in the pocket sometimes is a part of it. Holding your ground, knowing that the plays have to develop. That's being still and staying in the pocket. Happy feet is not letting the plays develop. And a guy who's a runner is more than likely not having happy feet. They just understand I have the ability to create better. I don't know if y'all think Kenny was a creator or not. I'm going to give the answer that he wasn't really a creator like that. His happy feet was still happy when he was rolling out. If you look at Russ run outside the pocket.
It's so different. It's so good.
If you look at Russ running out, Russ will run out to find a spot. But
he knows where he's going and why he's going there. It's not a panic. It's so different. I'd love to see Kenny become that. I'd love to see Kenny be able to find that purpose when he gets. But if you go back to, not to keep turning this into Kenny Mason, but when he would buy himself some time in college, he had his receiver who was college open, and he would complete the play. And that can be confused with what you're describing as Russell doing it at the NFL level, kind of the same way that he did at Wisconsin.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, that's good stuff.
So Russell's moving to find his spot. Kenny's moving because he was nervous. Not every play. Think about this. If he rolled mainly to his left side, he's a right-handed quarterback. Why would they have him thrown across his body?
But that was on him. He always wanted to do that. Now, in fairness, there were times when he can throw across his body. Why are we still talking about Philadelphia?
I know, man.
let's take a quick break here and then come right back to wrap this up. I know, right?
I know. It was
didn't mean to press the outro
button in the middle
of a sentence there.
By the way, you guys are good. Y'all know some of these answers too. Cool Ray's at eyes looking to make a play, eyes looking where to run.
Oh.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. When you get nervous and abort mission real quick, you're scattered. Eyes probably down, not looking down the field. And if your routes are mostly to the right side of the field, why are you rolling left?
Steven wants to know if he missed anything.
Did we get a center yet? No.
No center yet, dude.
Speaking of centers, there's another one for Hand Over Fist, which answers the other question, too. He goes, hey, Mon, would you prefer a 6'6 center or a 6-foot center? 6'6. I think the NFL is about to trend back to big boys up front. Why?
What about you as a left guard, though?
Me as a left guard? Give me 6'4 and above.
Okay. They eat more space.
They're hard to get around, especially if they're athletes. If y'all go back and look at the times from the combine and these bigs, you got to do Amarius Mims 6'8", 340. You know what he ran in his 40?
I don't want to know.
He ran a freaking 5.01.
How?
It's different. And this is one thing the PFF guy said today. It's like they talking to people around the league. They do think the NFL is going back to bigger dudes, especially in the interior, because the rush up the middle is a thing. The idea that, look, you got to protect the quarterback inside out may become bigger. And then the athlete itself. DK, I challenge y'all. If y'all got some burning time on your hand, look at the size and the speeds of these dudes that are running 40s. It's so many 5-flats and borderline 4.9s that I'm almost thinking about, like, Cooper Beebe is 6'4". They had him at 332 or 322. He ran a 5.01.
I can't even wrap my head around that.
A 5.01 at that size.
It's a different realm, that's for sure. But the humans keep getting bigger
and faster
and faster stronger. And everything else. And the game will adjust to that. All games that we play will adjust to that.
By the way, crazy. What happened to this DeMarco Sushi Fund?
My son landed in Japan overnight. He's going to be there for 4 months. So Justin Work is contributing to the sushi fund.
That's awesome right there, man. Make sure he might be able to get a good meal out of that, DK. And man, how you let me go on and we talk about when
there's a place right across from his dorm where he's going to be staying. I don't know if it's a dorm or what, a hotel or whatever, where he's going to be staying. There's a place that's just called Hamburger.
Really?
That's the whole name of the place. As it, you can't even make fun of the Japanese for having a place called Hamburger, because we have a place in Market Square here that's just called Sushi.
Sushi.
You know what I mean? Sushi One.
Sushi One. Is he he okay?
He made it over there just fine. Yeah, everything's good. Trying now to catch up on his sleep and all that other stuff. Oh, but yeah. Man.
What he went for the whole day and a half? What was it? Or back?
From Newark to over there, it's 14 hours.
But even the time change, right? Like they're
Plus 13. Yeah, you pretty much flip your PMs and AMs. That's it. So it takes some time. I've been over there. It takes some time.
So Dollar, we're talking 6-5 in the morning for him over there now?
Yeah, speaking of which, he's just
amazing. Hey, he gotta go. He gotta go. Baby boy is calling.
All right, guys. We'll do it tomorrow.
And it's hump day. We missed it.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Peace.
There we go.
Hi.